Evening, everyone. Welcome to this meeting of Exmouth Town Planning. Thank you. Great start.
Yes.
Welcome to tonight's Exmouth Town Planning Committee on Tuesday, 3rd of January. Item number one on the agenda is apologies for absence. Do we have any list?
Got a couple, actually. Cherry Nicholas, David Paul.
Frank Cullis.
I think Andrew Coleman has apologised for him. I've been trying to look it up and I can't see it.
Okay, thank you very much. So item number two is to confirm the minutes of the meeting held on the 19th of December, for which I send my thanks, or give my thanks to Councillor Dumper for chairing. We have a proposal and seconder for confirming those minutes. Okay, I think it's all those in favour. Those minutes are confirmed.
Who seconded that, sorry?
Mike Rosser. Councillor Rosser, cheers.
Oh, good. Didn't you? It wasn't there. So.
Brian.
No. Oh, Brian
Toy. Okay,
Brian,
thank you.
I'm so sorry.
Thank you.
So item number three, declarations of pecuniary interest and dispensations. Does anybody have any declarations of interest tonight at all? Okay, if you have any as we go through, obviously you can raise them at the time. Item number four is urgent business, but I don't believe there is any.
Nope.
We move straight to planning applications today. There are none in Brexington, none in Halston. Let them kind of spoil that by having lots. So planning application 22269 18 Hartley Road, the construction of a dwelling. We have no comments from statutory consultees and no representations. And this is Exmouth Neighbourhood Plan Policy EB2. Property has quite a long planning history. Previous application was refused by East Devon Planning, contrary to the planning officer's recommendation on the grounds of it was close to the public where his and the estuary, its character and appearance, and the living conditions of neighbouring occupiers in relation to the loss of open space. He went to appeal. The inspector only upheld the decision on the grounds of the effects on the pebble bed heath, not the others, and generally considered the proposal acceptable in relation to effects on the character, appearance, and living conditions of the neighbouring occupiers. So it's basically a resubmission of the previously refused application and documents show. Okay, so that, and they've also made a £13.62 shortfall as part of this application for Pebblebed Heath mitigations contribution.
Basically, the whole crux of the appeal was over the non-payment of a habitat mitigation regulation payment of £13 odd. So the inspector upheld the appeal on the basis that that hadn't been paid. But it has been paid now, so. It has been paid now.
Okay, so let's move to ward members, and we have Brian Lee.
Thank you, Chair. Happy New Year to you. This, as you said, is a long history. I feel personally that we can't really go against our previous decisions because nothing seems to have changed. I could be wrong, I don't know. I can't see that anything changed, so we're going to refuse it.
Can I just check, although East Devon refused it, what did we say?
We recommended refusal.
We recommended refusal.
Okay. It was felt that it was overdevelopment. Yeah, overdevelopment and lack of amenity space, that sort of thing.
Okay. Councillor Mike Rosser. just check with both of you on what grounds that is?
Over development.
Development. So, could you recommend a refusal? Right, I just wondering. Just so that we've got something.
The same grounds as we've already said
before. Right, okay.
Over development and lack of community space, wasn't it?
Very tight space.
Yeah.
Okay, and. Wasn't aware of time, but and now we have comments from David Ford. He says that he feels this is borderline, but he knows the comments from the planning inspector and feels that their application is now likely to pass. So on that basis, he has no objection. Does anybody else wish to say anything at all? We do have a proposal and a second for refusal. So all those in favour of refusal? All those against? Okay, so that we have recommended refusal. So we now move to. Sorry, I'm just having to skirt from one bit of paper to another, so apologies if I'm not as quick as I could be. Planning application 2227184, 38 Cranford Avenue. Proposes demolition of an existing rear garden room and garden store. And the erection of rear extensions to a detached four-bedroom property. There are no comments from statutory consultees and no representations. This is excellent neighbourhood plan policy key B2. Plot is very. Where are we? Okay, that's fine.
The neighbours at number 42. Mm. Which is the next door property, actually came into the town hall this morning and submitted a representation by email, which has been circulated to all members. And Councillor Rossa has been to see them today, I believe.
Okay, do you have that representation? Because I don't know, do.
Yeah, it's quite. I don't know if you can see that on the screen.
So for the benefit of the recording, the demolition of the existing rear garden, rear extension, garden room and store, the erection of a three-story extension. Okay, see, that's it. So the...
Basically, the neighbours are saying that the proposed extension will protrude an extra 1.5 metres, and in total 6 metres, beyond the back of their house and will stand notably elevated in comparison to the garden, which considerably slopes away. That the present extension observes a balcony restriction due to its potential to overlook their garden, and making the current extension a three-storey extension with an oversized window in the bedroom to include a pitched roof and a raised ground floor balcony will certainly loom over their back garden, the swimming pool area used by their family and young grandchildren. Furthermore, during winter months, the height of the proposed extension will limit the midday sun from our conservatory, used a lot at that time of day. They highlighted that the original application, which we looked up prior to the meeting, dates back to 1999, I think. So there were conditions that stated that no windows or other openings should be inserted or installed on the northeast elevation facing the property at 42 Cranford Avenue, and that was to protect the privacy of that property, and that the neighbours believe that that condition is now being broken due to there being two windows and a door being installed on that northeast elevation. And secondly, it was conditioned that the roof area of the extension should not be used as a balcony, roof garden or amenity area. And they believe that that condition is also being broken because the proposals for that area to be converted into a bedroom. So they wanted to raise their objections on the grounds of overbearing impact, loss of privacy, significant effect to residential amenity.
Okay, thank you very much. David Paul's comments are he thinks there's an issue with overlooking and overdevelopment, and there is an email from the neighbours that suggests there may be an issue which planning enforcement may need to investigate. So again, I assume that's intelligent. Councillor Mike Rosser.
Yeah, I had a look this afternoon.
Did you put your mic on, Mike?
Oh, of course. Yeah, I had a look. The swimming pool area is actually overlooked by several houses nearby, so there's no real loss of privacy there. And if you look at the northeast elevation, the windows that they're objected to, they're not big windows, and with obscure glass, I don't think they'll be making any impact on privacy. Having said that, the garden does slope down. It's quite a big garden, nice, I think, with a swimming pool at the bottom. And if I was living there, I wouldn't want a three-storey extension right on. So I think I would support the objection on the basis of it being overbearing. What would be the it's a difficult one because you know the big gardens there. It's not like they're cramming something into a small area. But I'll support those concerns.
I think in terms of the light issues, well, that's something that they look at quite closely in the district report, isn't it? They measure things like that. So
yeah, that's the bottom one. It's only a tiny little bit at the top.
Yeah, it's not here, is it? Councillor Brian Bailey.
I agree with Mark. I second his proposal. And Councillor
Cahill.
Yeah, thank you. I was just looking at it on Google Maps and looking how far away that swimming pool is away from the residence. It's actually closer to Colby and Close properties than it is to its own property. So the issue about the swimming pool being overlooked by neighbours is a bit of a red herring, I believe. The land itself, there's plenty of land on all these residences. And I would question the planning stuff that we referred to recently from 1999 as to whether it's still covered, because it talked about 5 years for something to be built, and it's actually 3 years now. So some things have changed. So if that national planning policy framework is no longer current, then this needs to be
in
my opinion.
Thank you. Councillor Dunbar. There wasn't, of course, even the National Policy Plan in action at that time. That's been instituted since.
Well, it's contrary to what's...
Things have definitely changed, for the benefit of the recording, we were just having a look.
So this is 38, this is 42, I believe.
Yeah.
So the boundary is actually, you can see that the what they were concerned about when they came in today was that that point is...
The one on the right. Oh. People that
I thought, lost it anyway. It's gone. Okay.
I'm still there in reality.
Yeah. I thought that it was the one on the left as you face the road. Looking at the location plan, because this one is 36A. So this is 42.
That's
42. This is the one that these are the neighbours that have objected. So, and that, then what they were saying is that it doesn't it's not necessarily reflected on this red line, but that the boundary is quite close. That's
it's
what I was trying
right
to put
that.
Yeah.
And it'll be particularly from the swimming pool area. Right.
Chair, if I may just come back now, because I want a slightly different thing, but it's the same principle, which I make this to the property in Valley Way, which was having some work done on the neighbour's property, and I saw the lady who was objecting. It had already gone through planning, and when I spoke to the planning about distance from properties, he said there is no regulation. Well, that particular application, I could touch two walls of each house. So there's quite a lot of space between those two properties. So if you look at all the properties in the avenues, they're all varying different distances apart, some are closer than others. So if there's no legislative distance set by the planning department or the planning policy framework, we can't really argue against that.
No, so your objection is based on the fact that it's overbearing.
Yes,
and that's a So I mean, we can go on. We can go on that, but yeah, your point is noted. I think it'd be good for me certainly to check that. So we do have a proposal and a seconder for objection. All those in favour? All those against? Abstentions?
You need to take a chairman's vote then, otherwise we haven't got majority.
Well, I did vote.
Did you?
Refusal. Yeah.
Recommend refusal. Okay, so that's carried then.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right. So we move to planning. So let's move to planning application 22-27354. 3A Styles Down Road, proposed gazebo to the front garden area of the dwelling. We've got no comments from such consultee, no representations. It's excellent neighbourhood plan policy EB2. The front area, Councillor David Paul's comments were he has no objection, although it's at the front of the house, the driveway is long, so there's no issue with it affecting the street scene. Councillor Brian Bailey.
Thank you very much. I see no problem with this, Chair. I recommend approval. Thank you.
Councillor Michael, sir.
I agree.
Okay, so we have a proposal and second for approval. All those in favour? Okay, that's carried. Thank you. We now move to planning application 22-27544, 9D Portland Avenue. A proposed loft extension to create an additional room. We have no comments from statutory consultees. We have one representation who and they are concerned that the proposed windows on the second floor looks into their bedroom and kitchen opposite, and so asks that a condition of having obscured glazing is added to any application. This is excellent neighbourhood plan policy. And is in a conservation area. Councillor David Poor objects on those grounds of overlooking and privacy, but accepts that these issues could be addressed by obscured glazing, but remains sceptical. Okay.
So there was an addendum to this application.
So there was.
And I think the addendum.
Window.
It was an enlargement of the existing window to the south elevation.
Is that the same window that the representative was concerned with?
I'm not sure. Let's see if I can pull it.
Looking at it on Google Maps, I've got number 7, number 11, and then property in between. It doesn't actually show 9D.
9D is about 3 up because I know Diane is in 9B. It's a block, you know, she's in a flat, so I think it's 9 and she's 9B, so.
She's not showing
all
the.
Oh, right,
it's about 3 up on the. So there's the location plan.
Yeah. I was going to say because my friend lives in 9B.
It's just not got a number, yeah, I see it now, but it's got lots of roof spaces in it.
Councillor councillor Mike Rosser. We'll go to the all councillors in there.
I can find a maybe I missed it, but the before is the lower picture, the lower.
That's the existing elevation.
Yeah.
And that's the proposed one, so there's a dormer basically going in here.
I would agree to it, subject to the windows having lots of your doors.
Okay, thanks, Councillor Ryan Bailey.
I agree with my colleague, thank you, Chair.
Anybody else? Councillor Dunfer.
Did you mention Councillor David Paul's?
Yeah, I did, yeah. He objects on the grounds of overlooking and loss of privacy and accepts that they could be addressed by obscured glazing but remains sceptical.
So, could we put a condition in or like that, or comment?
As I propose in a second, you're both happy to have that?
Yeah.
Yeah, cool. Councillor Cahill.
Thank you. This work is at back, isn't it? Filling in the two angles, is that correct?
Yeah, I think so, yeah. It's in the roof, isn't it? So.
Yeah, well, the property that it's supposedly overlooking is a considerable distance away.
Yeah, it would seem to be. Actually, is that at the back or is that at the front?
Well, if you look at the, once again, I'm using Google Maps and looking at the property. Two apexes are at the back with the gap, and if you look across to what it's overlooking, it's Blue Cedar Court. But it's quite a long way away.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure that would hold it.
Okay, so I mean, that's if we. It has been requested, so we can put it in this condition, and if they then choose to implement it, I guess that's up to them. But absolutely. So we do have a proposal and seconder for approval. With the condition that added that frosted glass is used or obscure glass. So all those in favour? All those against? And abstentions? So that is carried. Okie dokie. We now move to application 2766 full Mayor Farm.
Sorry, on the other application, that the addendum that came in, which has got a different application number.
Oh, right. Okay.
So we need to look at that one as well, which is 2755.
I'll be completely honest.
This window here, by the looks of it. At the side.
Okay.
So this, it's here, so it's the proposed balcony window here. Second floor window enlargement.
Does anybody have any comments on that particular window? It does look a bit strange. Can we have a look at the...
Can't see a reason to object.
So that's on the south side. Can we just have a look at the location plan again? And that is north, pointing upwards, I assume. So there's no...
So it's this bit, it's on this side.
There's nothing really close, is it? Councillor Brian Bailey.
We are still talking about the.
Yeah, still talking about the previous thing, but there's a. They want to put a window in the south elevation, a large window.
This is at Portland Avenue.
Yeah.
It's the same property, but an addendum application came in.
Seems a very peculiar place to put a window, but I suppose that's up to the occupier, isn't it? It doesn't appear to be overlooking. anyone or anywhere in particular, seems completely out of place. It doesn't seem to geometrically line up with anything at all. It's not going to be in the public realm, is it? As such. No. So, in that case, I can't see why we could put a genuine objection to it. The fact that many of us don't like the look of it is neither here nor there, is it?
Like it looks.
That can't go as a genuine reason, so therefore let it be.
Are you of that mind, Councillor Rosser?
Yeah.
Did you have your hand up, Craig?
No.
I'm just opening up the pictures.
Great. So we have a proposal and seconder for approval for the window on the south elevation. All those in favour? Okay, that's huge. Okay, so then we do move on to, apologies for that, we move on to 22-276-64. Mare Farm, Mare Lane, a detached bat house within the rear gardens of Barn 5. Barn 5 was previously approved under another application. We have no comments with such appeals, no representations. The application has been made under a planning condition for the previous application for the barn. A bat license from Natural England has been obtained, and under this license, in the rear garden of Barn 5, which is why they've made this planning application. Did I say Battenfield? Bat house. Is this where it's where Bruce Wayne goes? I don't know. David Paul has no objection and he's glad to see this application. Councillor Brian May.
Thank you, Chairman. Would you care to enlighten me on the timescale as to when this bat house was conditioned of, I guess, demolishing a barn to build another house? Are we looking at several years in the past?
I am not certain.
Perhaps there are other parts.
Could we just have a quick look at the previous application? So they've made this application to do whatever it is to Barn 5. And as part of that, they have to... so that would be in 21. And as part of that, they have to build a bat house. And that is what they're applying to do now.
So Barn 5 could be converted, or has been?
Yes. Mike Rosser.
No question.
Okay. We'll just go to Brian Toy first, and you. Councillor Brian Toy.
Yeah, I'll be sure that the bat experts will guarantee that the bats will roost in the new bat house.
I am, I have no idea, Brian.
I think you never can guarantee it.
Yeah, to be honest, but if it's a planning condition,
there's
bats there.
I'm
Batty myself. There's bats all over. Yeah. You don't have to put a house in every garden. Yeah. Councillor Brian Bailey. Thank you, Chair. I may be able to shed a bit of light on this. Many moons ago, when I was on the planning authority at East Devon, we had an application for the Conquer Pound at East Budley, where there was an old barn, which was the habitat of many long-eared, short-eared, various length wings and whatever, all types of very rare bats. And eventually, after a lot of argument to and fro in the Environment Agency, this is the bit that really hurts me, and I can think any other well-thought person. The Environment Agency issues a license. Therefore, you can go in there, demolish the building, you've got to remove the bats, demolish the whole building, your bats will go fly away, die, get trapped on the foot. And that's legal. And then on a condition you build a bat house, a week or two, 3 or 4 years later, it doesn't really seem to make any difference, then that's fine.
Yeah.
So So there is no protection for bats. The whole thing's a farce. You know? And it was then, and it is now. So it's just a way of placating the planners. We've gone down this route, we've ticked all the boxes. But as I said, they don't remove the bats, they don't look after them.
Yeah.
It's an absolute racket, and there's no two ways about it. I stand by that, Jim, because I got very involved, at least by the fact I met the lady at the council meeting at East Devon only last week, and she reminded me of it, and she's still upset. And after all that, the house still hasn't been built, there's not a bat in sight. Yeah. There is no guarantee, what Mike said, these bats will even come back to these things, especially at ground level. Bats very rarely roost at ground level. They like to be one or two stories up because the air is cooler and they can sleep better. Ground level, it's not the case. So I'm totally against this. Whether I understand it's a legal requirement, that doesn't make it right, Chair.
Okay, that's fine.
As far as I'm concerned, it's very, very wrong. So thank you for your indulgence.
So in terms of this application, that's quite a difficult thing, isn't it? Because I completely understand what you're saying and understand why you want them to take the bats from where they are and protect them while the thing's being demolished and the new building's being built. But the planning condition says they have to build this bat house, and that's what they're doing. So can we object to this on those grounds?
Doesn't got a number, no.
What about the owls?
There aren't any owls there, apparently. No evidence of barn owls found within the building. The proposed development can proceed with negligible risk to barn owl. Pigeons present.
Were there any wrens?
I know a resident there, a lady who often sees barn owls in and out of these barns. She lives on the other side of the valley.
Yeah. I think there is barn owls.
Okay, bearing all of this in mind, they've been asked to build a bat box as part of the planning application. They've now applied for planning permission for a bat box, so we need to make a proposal whether complete all of these will be noted. And Lisa, if you could note Brian's comments in a minute, we do need to vote on this. Mike, you said you did. You say you had no objection?
Yeah. I mean, having listened to what Brian has said, are the grounds for refusing it because of causing any harm? Are we going along with a policy that is actually harmful because it's pretending to protect bats, but it's actually not?
Well, I think.
Correct.
I accept that. I think. Okay, that's fine. Councillor Dunbar.
Yeah, I'm just going to say that I don't think at the moment there's any evidence for what is being discussed around this table. I think the proposal there is to actually substitute this bat house, which of course is of a height where you've got a up into the roof where bats would roost. I think substitute for what has gone. And I think that what has gone may well, because there's often conditions in these kind of things that before anything else is built, then that substitute place must be made. I mean, we've had a number of cases in the area of outstanding natural beauty where replacement roosts have been put in. And I think the question needs to be asked, what you've just said, Brian, but I don't think that we should refuse the application on that basis. And if Mike is still prepared to propose, then I will be prepared to second approval of that. Anyway, that's all I have to say.
We're talking about the threats are mentioned in this emerging plan that we're talking about later. And I'm pretty sure that if you ask serious naturalists, you ask David what he would think about bats, he would say about, don't interfere with them in any way. So how strong that policy is going to be in the future will determine do about these things, really.
Okay, so can I just be clear? Oh, Councillor Frecagle.
Can I just ask, did this come from Natural England originally?
I don't know.
That's where the BAT's licence was obtained from. And under this licence, it's been agreed. So, yeah, I think so.
So I think Natural England are consultees rather than not statutory bodies. So in this sense, they're only consultees.
Okay.
No, I think there must have been a condition.
Yeah, as part of the actual planning application. Yes, so it does say that, yeah. Okay, so Councillor Rossett, can I be clear? Are you?
On balance, you know, is it better to have a back house or not have a back house? I would say it's better to have a back house, but I think we do need to know the concerns of drivers as well.
Yeah, okay. That's fine. They will be noted. So Councillor Dunfer is happy to second that. So I think we do have a proposal to second for approval, with the comments that have been made added as well. So all those. All those against, so that is carried.
Yep.
Thank you for your consideration, Chairman.
Yeah, no worries at all. No worries at all. Did he record the tape? Just moved. Okay, the planning application 22-27174, 13 Foxholes Hill, the construction of a detached three-bedroom dwelling with associated parking. Amenity space. There are no comments from such consultees. There are no representations. It is a decent sized plot, apparently, and that's a sensitive area because it is in the AONB. It doesn't look like it will be visually intrusive. And Councillor David Paul has no objection. Councillor Ryan Bailey.
Saw things in done before adjoining properties, as far as I'm aware. So I can't say we can legally object to it, Chair, to be reluctantly, I have to go along with it. Thank you.
Councillor Mike Rosser.
What's the concerns about that?
I don't know. Can you get to Street View from Google Earth?
Yes.
I normally go to Google.
Maps.
Google Maps, not Google Earth. I don't know how you get to Street View from Google Earth. No, that's on Google Maps, isn't it?
That's number 13 where the red indicator is. And the house is up the top on the left.
So the access is right where the red dot is.
Yeah.
Right on the corner there. And if you look at the site layout, as far as I can see, the cars would have to back out. So there you go.
The owner of the property is at the top, isn't it?
I think so, yeah.
Why would they have to back out?
Well, because
why can't they come down facing forward?
Back in.
Isn't there a turning area?
Yeah,
because when you look on this one, it's got a bridge up to RC Cox Builders. It's presumably
a building
very right. Councillor Frank Hager.
Thank you. Yeah, I am. Foxholes is a mix of old and new houses. And to be quite honest, I think it's just another opportunity for someone to sort of develop into their gardens, which lots of people have done. Precedences have been set. Is it the right thing to do? Well, existing property with a garden and build another property in that garden and car park. So it's all off the highway, you know what I mean? So I don't really see that in depth.
So are you happy to second Councillor Bailey?
I am, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Councillor Dillon.
Yes, yeah. Just two comments. One is, I think I should.
Can we just turn it to myself?
One thing, I must declare an interest as a member of the OMB. Secondly, I don't think you read out David Paul's presentation.
Yeah, he hasn't read it. Yeah. Okay, so we have a proposal and a second for approval. All those in favour? All those against? Okay, so that's carried. Oh, one abstention, sorry, Tim. We have. We have no applications in Town Ward. Excuse me. We have one in Whittaker Morley, and that is application 22-27854, 40 Green Close. This is for an outbuilding, part business use, boundary works, and the driveway. This is excellent neighbourhood plan policy EB2.
Frank, have you got his comments? I've just put it up on the screen.
Yeah, that's fine. I've got his comment here. That's fine.
Yeah, okay.
Plenty of, there appears to be a lot of space. The business use is for what Ron's describes as facial aesthetics. The mind boggles, to be honest. What would facial aesthetics be, do you think?
It'll be like...
a beauty treatment.
Yes.
Okay. And obviously they'll have all the licences and insurance they need for that. It doesn't appear to be an issue in terms of access as there's a public footpath inside. Councillor Frank Cullis has suggested that he's pleased that the applicants apply for planning permissions. He suspects there are numerous examples around town of people doing similar things without applying. It's located off Green Close and up the lane that turns into the footpath that goes over the railway bridge, leading to Chichester Close. It's very hard to use that. There is a property 38A that will be directly opposite from the proposed building, divided by just a small lane, but the proposed building is 2.35 metres high at the rear, rising to 2.5 metres on a pitched flat roof. I'm assumed by that he's saying he doesn't think that there'll be any kind of overlooking issue, although he's not clear. The application mentions a driveway that he assumes will be available to people visiting the site, although I can't see on the plans. It's a replacement for where the existing rear access is, he suspects. But he's supportive of the, he doesn't think the build will add extra pressure or parking. And he would be supportive of this planning application. Does anybody else have any thoughts on this? Councillor Nelson.
I have a concern with any of these when you start having building, when you start having business use in a residential area. I mean, we had quite a few of these in Littlemead that suddenly started up, and I know Tim was councillor for the same ward at that time, and we had an awful lot of trouble because you have one and then they all started up, and you know, so, but they're all turned. that's my concern, is that, you know, just starting to get business use in a residential area.
We'll go to Councillor Cahill, and then Councillor Toy, and Councillor Bailey, and then Councillor Toy. Fred.
Thank you. Well, my memory serves me correctly. That is a roadway, unless it's been changed. It's not longer, it's now a lane, but it used to be a roadway because you could drive over the railway bridge until it was stopped up. But I would agree with Lynn that it's a residential area. You know, and if he's going to have clients that are having facial aesthetics work, wearing a park. And there's already enough parking issues in Greenwich, so I would agree with me.
Thank you, Councillor Brian Bailey. Oh, sorry, Lisa.
Yeah, as I say, I would imagine it'll be one client at a time, and it'll probably be 9 to 5, during the hours of 9 to 5, I would imagine.
Thank you,
Chair. I have sympathy with what my colleagues say about parking. However, I think we should encourage business. As we know, properties to rent or to purchase in the town regarding business are extremely expensive, especially if people are starting off, young people are starting off in business. I don't know the age of this applicant at all, but I would imagine that anything to encourage people to work from home is really the thing to do. And you may have people travelling to them, they may be travelling on the bus, they may come by taxi, I have no idea. But in general, there is going to be less footfall, I would imagine, than anyone visiting the town. Everyone's going to the same place. But I would encourage it. I'd like to encourage people to do business from home. I think that's the way forward. Thank you.
We'll go to Councillor Toy and then to you. So, Councillor Ryan Toy first.
Yeah, generally, I mean, one doesn't like business industrial work going on in a residential area. And the trouble is, the classifications of business now is very broad. It can cover all sorts of businesses. Maybe this person is, you know, going to run a quiet one, but somebody else could come in having had that panel. Start doing something quite noisy, it's quite busy. So I think it's pretty doubtful whether you start setting precedents for industrial work in residential areas, and God knows where you're going to finish up. So I think because of the classification is somehow broad, that could include all sorts of noisy things as well as quiet things, I don't think it should be approved, really.
Completely understand, because I get, yeah, it does say that they're doing facial aesthetics. I imagine that wouldn't necessarily be noisy. That's a lot of work to do. Yeah. Councillor Rosser and then Councillor Bailey.
You know, there's a similar sort of situation here, which one is whether somebody in the garden, they've got a shed or an apple and they have the history. It's not really a problem because normally there's only one person there at a time. I can understand concerns if, you know, we're talking about a big business with lots and lots of cars and people coming, but I would imagine this would be a similar sort of situation, just one person having their face remade,
aesthetic,
reconstructed.
Just ask a question, Lisa. Thanks, Mike. Just ask a question. So, in terms of us granting this, if we do, does it then have to be used for facial aesthetics? If they wanted to do something completely different in it, would they have to reapply for something, you know, for first?
Depends on the use change. Mm. If it was consistent with the use that's granted.
But in any kind of industrial, any kind of industrial task that would require a change. Anything that's going to create noise or anything?
Not necessarily.
No. Okay. Councillor Fred Cagle, sorry.
I've just looked up, for the benefit of the committee, if it's any use. Facial aesthetics is the term we use to describe the range of non-surgical treatments our practice offers to temporarily soften expression lines and define certain facial features and contours. Facial Botox aesthetics are known to describe in many forms, e.g. Botox fillers, anti-wrinkle injections. So it doesn't actually define that it's going to be noise.
Unless they're not very good with the...
What I'm saying is that, you know, what class business is it? Could there be another business putting it, like get office and retail?
It doesn't. They don't say what it is, do they?
So if we granted these are the things that it could be.
It's probably E, provision of medical or health services. E. So it could.
So if they change their mind and say it's not a question, they could anyway, because it's E.
Yeah. But they couldn't start. They couldn't start anything industrial in there.
Question here then. This is a full planning application. This isn't a change of use. Do we think that's correct? In other words, if you are putting a separate building in, you know, rather than a part of the building itself, shouldn't you be going for change of use rather than just
It's a new building.
I understand that. And that's the question I'm asking, because the property is at the moment residential.
That's what
we're being told anyway. I'm split on this, because I agree we don't want to encourage huge amounts of business going on everywhere. But on the other hand, I think Frank is also right in that there will be a lot of this sort of thing going on without any application having been made. I'd also like to put on record criticism of the governments since 2010, that they have watered down change of use and use classes in ways which, as we've heard tonight, are not helpful. And I think that's one of the things we need to look at in response both to local plan and other things.
Councillor Brian Bailey, thanks.
Thank you very much, Chair. Regarding Councillor Toy's observations about noise and disruption, that's what public health is for. You can't preempt the situation. You can't think, well, maybe there may be noise and disruption when sounding some of the things that could be possibly going on. There possibly wouldn't, apart from the thing slip with a scalp or something on my screen. So you can't preempt, no offence, one, because it's not the way to do it. And also, I feel that to encourage business, we're supposed to be discouraging people travelling to Exeter or Holland and Barnstable to work. If we encourage people to work in their back garden, there can't be a change of use to it, because there is no use at the moment. So you can't change the use when there is no use. So it's a whole new venture. And I would use a well-known expression from years ago, suck it and see, that's how we go. And there are situations in place that if it doesn't work out, that the powers that be can address it through public health, various other ways. And don't knock it till you've tried it, I think. I think it could be, something like this could be the future. It would stop people going in their drones to Exeter or wherever to go to work. You know, especially as we're coming to the more electronic age, I can see these. I've got a couple of friends who run very successful international businesses from what was their garage and has been converted to an office, legally, I might add. They're doing very nicely. And as far as they go from their bedroom to their kitchen for their breakfast to what was their garage, which is now their office to work, working there all day, generate a lot of money, a lot of income tax, a lot of business for the country in general, but no environmental expense at all.
Fairness,
I think that's the way to go forward.
Fairness, Brian, that is not classy.
I
Okay, so Brian, are you proposing no objection?
Absolutely, Josh.
Okay, is anybody willing to second Brian? Okay, so we'll put it to the vote now. So we have a proposal and a second for approval. All those in favour? All those against? I was going to abstain. Abstentions. Should we do that again? All those in favour? All those against. Okay, so that is approved, and we'll let it stand.
Thank you for
that one out for us. So that comes to the end of the planning applications. A quick look, item number 6 on the agenda, or about planning decisions. East Devon appears to agree conditionally with our decisions, except for 10 Tyler Vale, where it was withdrawn before it got to East Devon. Do we close this part of the meeting now, and we'll be a little more informal? Okay, so that concludes the planning section of tonight's meeting. Thank you very much, everyone.